Good evening. We'll go ahead and get started this evening as we jump into the things that we have on tap here. We're looking forward to the preachers in training, hearing from the three men that have prepared for us a message, and be able to encourage them as they continue to learn how to not study God's Word, but put together a message in order to bring that out to others. Business meeting tonight, we're going to do it at the end of the service, so don't think that we're skipping over that part of it. We do have some business to handle, but that'll be at the end of the service, and we're looking forward to that. A couple of announcements when it comes to what's going on in the life of the church. As I mentioned this morning, we are going to do a children's ministry this summer. It's going to look a little bit different. We're going to try something new. Instead of doing a VBS all in one week, Monday through Friday, we're going to try to do five Wednesdays in a row starting mid-July and just meet on Wednesday night. Kind of hit one day of each of the VBS and work our way through. Still do crafts and games and all those kind of things, but just so that way we're not making a sprint at the and throughout one week. We'll stretch that out and it'll be a little bit longer of a pace, but hopefully not quite as burdensome for that time there. So we're going to try that and see how that goes. So if you're interested in helping out with that, let me know. We'll need teachers and group leaders and so on as we continue to work our way through those things there. Another thing coming up, we've gotten notifications of Serve Day, and we're looking for a leader for that. So if you have any ideas on that, let me know what that is. The day organized by a church in Portsmouth, that a way for us churches to serve our community. And we look for ways that can serve and tangible ways meet the needs of Porter Township and the surrounding areas there. So we were thinking it'd be nice to participate in that this year. And so if that's something you would be willing to lead and kind of take up the head on that, that'd be fantastic. Just come talk to me. I'll get you the details, and then you can kind of run with it from there. So we're always looking for ways to share Christ's love with our community. And this is another just a tangible way to kind of continue that as we go along through those. This Wednesday, we want to be looking forward to hearing from Jade and how things are going down there. Last we talked to her, she was doing a lot of teaching of the MKs on camp because they couldn't get people from the villages to come in because of COVID. But we look forward to hearing the updates and see if that's changed and what the summer looks like and so on. So that'll be here. She'll be on Zoom. And so you can join us either here. We'll be here and be able to talk to her through Zoom, or you can log in from your homes and be able to participate that way. So there's a whole list of things happening. We want to make sure of people that we're meeting with every Wednesday, and we want to make sure you keep in track of that as well. Next Sunday, we'll have another evening service. This one's been on the books for a while. The Kincaids are in town on their furlough, and so they will be with us during the evening service time next Sunday, and looking forward to hearing from them and their experiences there in Italy with ministry and COVID and everything else. So we want to make sure we continue to encourage them and see how the Lord is working around the world through COVID and other things. Other announcements other people have, updates on ministries that are happening and so on.
One thing that the Lord's opened up is Dave and I will be going on Thursday to First Baptist Church in Canova for a biblical counseling seminar for the leaders from that church and Grace Gospel Church in Plainview. And those two churches are expressing interest in biblical counseling. So we said, if you're both interested, how about we come and do it for both of you together? So that'll be Thursday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Just pray that God will work on that. They both expressed interest in actually having a full-blown training in the fall, potentially. And we just need wisdom. This is the church where Rex Howe's been preaching each Sunday morning. And so that's coming up. Also, I just was texting Ed Ruggles, and Ed and Cindy are there in Atlanta. The
those updates.
Any other ministry updates or prayer requests?
Youth group is now having a break, a summer break.
Okay.
We're going to have another youth group launch on the second weekend of July.
Okay.
And probably start in August again.
And what now?
In August we start back.
Start back on. So taking a break for now for the summer. Youth group is, they're going to be meeting a couple times throughout the year for some activities and lunches, but starting back up in August. Good. Any other ministry updates or prayer requests we want to remember tonight? Yeah.
I went and talked to my lawyer about this arraignment this past Wednesday. He was trying to line up all the witnesses that have the evidence that I'll need to bring my case. And I haven't, he hasn't told me whether or not he's got the people lined up to make it on the next Friday or the 4th. I need prayer that the two surveyors that he has lined up pick out and have a look at these points.
Okay. So prayer, continue to pray for this land dispute. And you said the court date's next Friday? Gotcha. We'll continue to pray for him on that. Specifically lining up witnesses and all the things that we need. Any other prayer requests or updates? We'll continue to pray for camp. We got you said Grace Baptist will be out there this week. So they'll be coming, and then another week of same type of guest group kids camp, and then family camp getting into that. So we've got a full slate of summer coming, and they've just gotten started, so I want to continue to pray for the camp as they're going along. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Ken will come up and lead us in a song, and then we'll hear from the first one on tap for tonight. I'm not sure who that is, so when it comes to the preachers and training. So let's pray. Gracious Father, it's an amazing privilege we have to just to pour our hearts out to you. And Lord, I pray that we never take it for granted, and that we continue to stand in awe of the grace and what is made possible by your grace. And Lord, we thank you so much for the church and the many ministries that are happening here, and many things that are happening. So much of it's unplanned and not organized as far as a ministry that's happening, but people just doing life together, meeting with other people, and sharing God's word, and encouraging, discipleship happening in a natural way, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd allow that to continue. I pray that you would just help us to continue to develop our culture of discipleship, that we would see people not only come to know you as Savior in this area, but also be able to see them grow in the grace and knowledge and the truth of your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the camp and the things that are happening out there. We're thankful for the week that we had this past week. We're such a joy to be able to minister to the kids and see their counselors interacting with them. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you've worked and allowed in the kids' hearts. And I pray that you'd continue to see the truth that was spoken and the love that was shared to continue to impact them long after this week is over, Lord. Lord, we pray for the camp as they're continuing to minister another week of grace. And I just pray that you would, with Grace Baptist Church, I pray that you would just give them the energy, the wisdom, and the insight to be able to minister in a way that brings honor and glory to you and meets the needs of those churches, Lord. And Lord, I pray for Homer and this land dispute, Lord, and I pray that you would just continue to let him walk in wisdom, help him to realize that your honor and glory is the most important thing, and just to rest in your sovereignty and your grace through this situation, but also walk with wisdom and the ability to do what he can to see this carried through with excellence, Lord. Lord, we want to continue to pray for Ed and Cindy and the unexpected loss of her brother. And I just pray that you would just help them to be comforted by you. Allow them to feel your arms of grace wrapped around them in a new way, and help them to minister to the rest of the family. And Lord, I pray that your light would shine brightly in the midst of those services that will be happening at the end of the week. pray for many others in the church who have lost loved ones this past week, and funerals that are happening today and Tuesday and other days. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with each and every one of those situations. Lord, we thank you for the birthday celebration for Thelma, and I just pray that you would encourage her through that. And just we're encouraged to see how she's still faithfully serving through all these years, Lord, and allow that to be an encouragement and a testimony to us. And Lord, we thank you for the church body, that we can continue to walk with each other. Many of us have burdens and joys, and Lord, I pray that you just help us to help carry those and celebrate with one another in a way that's appropriate. Lord, we thank you for these three men that will be giving us the word here shortly. And I pray that you would just allow them to speak the truth in love. I pray that you would give them clarity of thought and allow them to speak the words of truth that you have planned for us this evening. I ask in your precious name. Amen.
Wearing my new camp shirt, I was telling Matt, I just had this throwback memory. I don't know what you call it. Like Dave said, I'm getting old. I'm wearing my new camp shirt. Kids just went to camp, and it's Sunday evening. And then everybody that went to camp had to give a testimony. But it was fun because that was the only time we could wear camp t-shirts in church. It was okay. But so we were excited about that, but we were scared to death about the testimony part. And, of course, everybody's testimony had opened with, the food was good. That was always like a traditional thing in mind. Everybody's testimony, the food was good, even though most of the time it wasn't. But we didn't starve. It was okay. But our food was good at camp. So Matt will testify. Those that were there will testify to that. But yeah, it was just a neat memory. But good things happen as we watch the kids do the reality checks. Watch my son in particular. In the whole cabin, our cabin was walking down the hill. I forget if they were going to lunch or going to dinner. They're going to one of the meals, and they're walking down. I think it was dinner. And then somebody calls reality check. And everybody's supposed to stop and do the reality check. They kept walking, but they were doing the reality check while they were walking to get to dinner. So I don't know. It was just a little thing that I noticed, but it was great just seeing them there. And just knowing that they're learning about what we're going to sing about tonight, about God's grace, about His love. I got some familiar hymns, and I'm so thankful that the hymnals are back in front of you so you don't have to depend on me for lyrics. They are in front of you. Page 195, Nothing But the Blood. Jesus is thinking about God's grace. That's kind of my theme tonight. You want to say there's a theme. But Nothing But the Blood. We'll just sing the first. Let's just sing the first, third, and fourth. We'll go from there. But can wash away. Thank you. Would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you that we can stand and be gathered here because the blood of Jesus, the blood that saved us, the blood that purified us, the blood that cleansed us from our sins. But also we stand here in gratitude of the amazing work that you still faithfully work in us. God, help us to be listen to this word and help us to be doers as we study this word tonight. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we are in Galatians chapter 6. And that's the last chapter of the book. I don't know how many months are we spending on, but I think it's probably, 6 months now. And so, when you spend that much time on a book of the Bible, you get thinking as you work through your days about the message or about those verses that you've been reading or studying. So it's pretty amazing that we have this opportunity to be spend this much time on these verses. So let's get into Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 to 5. We're going to study tonight. But just an introduction here. For the chapters 1 to 4, Paul is talking about this supremacy of grace and the justification by faith. And that over this Mosaic law, that people were like inputting themselves into like prerequisites for salvation. There was a group that was intentionally being suppressing to the Jews and to the Christians in this church to be practice, not just practice of this law, but also taking this law as a requisite for salvation. So Paul tried to bring to us this salvation by faith and justification by faith, and the grace is supreme over this law. But tonight we're going to talk about a different law that Paul's present in chapter 6, and it's about the law of Christ. So Paul is trying to taking the Jews, the focus out of this law, not completely, but like moving this, like Christ is enough, Christ is supreme, and now he's bringing us the same word, like law again. So, but in a different context, he's talking about the law of Christ. So let's read. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill, this is our word here, the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own action, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. So Paul's moving our thoughts now and our centrality of thoughts of this law of Christ being applied. So we're going to see the law of Christ apply in two ways. And the first will be in the life of others. And then the second one will be applied in our lives. So ourselves. So excuse me here. So what is the law of Christ? So to get a context here of the word of this paraphrase that Paul is saying. So if you go back to John, I don't need to open, but John 13:34 says, a new command I give it to you, love one another as I have loved you. And then John chapter 15, verse 12, he mentioned the same thing. My command is this, love each other as I loved you. And then I bring to this context of this church, if you just turn your page to Galatians chapter 5, Paul's mentioned similar about this law of Christ here, the law of love. It means Galatians 5:13 and 14 says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." So that's our definition today. It's the law of Christ. We can bring it to this definition that is love one another. Love one another. Love others. As the one of the difference here about the Mosaic Law and the law of Christ is the Mosaic Law prisoned them to the law, while this law of Christ would free us, as we read in verse 13 to chapter 5. So let's go in our first verse of the chapter 6 as we apply the law of Christ to other in the life of others. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore it gently, but watch yourself, so you might also be tempted. So the first part here, we can see that we can apply this law of Christ, the law of love, in the restoration of others. So we can restore others, and that you see that Paul is talking specific to the church, as he mentioned brothers. So he has you and me focus on this, but he also doesn't have somebody in mind, as he mentioned, if somebody's caught in sin. He doesn't have like a name or a sin specific. He brings this situation to us to understand how we can practice this law today in our lives, in the church life too. So he's talking about this being caught in a sin or surprised by a sin. So that sin that is not planned, or a sin that is you and I were not deliberate sinning on that, but it's like this sin that something happened in your day and then you act in a way that is not pleasing to God. So that's kind of sin that Paul is talking here about being restored. So think about a situation like you are with giving a ride to somebody in a car, and then somebody very slow in front of you, and then you just like said that word, and then that person beside you can restore you. I've got a very superficial, you know, kind of sin, just like this verbal. But there are sins that we are not planning that also can be restored here. See over there that we, as Paul in verse 1, separate the church in two categories. He separated the church of those that are spiritual, and or those that are living by the Spirit, and those who are not. He talks about a little more in chapter 5. But the responsibility of restore one another is the ones that are spiritual, as he's mentioned here. So that's our responsibility if we are walking in the Spirit. That's your requirement to restore one another. So restoration here, the word is for a bone that is being broken, and then you apply, you know, the doctor will go and fix it and put in place, or will do all that surgery and put in place and do the whole construction of it. But it's the one that word that doctors use to be fix a broken bone. So thinking about the life of church, we are members of a body, right? So sometimes our bones, as we are part of the local church, we may not be doing the function that we should be doing, or the way that God created us. And that's the responsibility of one another, to love and to restore. Second point here is we can apply to others, is carry each other's burdens. Burdens here is a word for a heavy weight, or that burden or that weight that you cannot lift by yourself. There's burdens that we can do, care by ourselves, But there are some that we need the help of others. And that's how God intended us to live a life that we can carry each other's burden, to show His love, this love of Christ, the love, but also to encourage and to point us to Christ. There are several of us here suffering as we pray this morning for families that were lost or people fighting cancer. There is some situation that God placed us in our lives that we don't understand why. And those situations is the ones that we should be watching for, carry each other's burdens. And that's what Paul is trying to say. In chapter 5, he talks about Christians devouring each other or being very aggressive to each other to pretty much to put them down. But Christ is saying you should lift them up. In the way that you should lift them up is carrying each other's burdens. All right, let's pass on here. How can we apply this law of Christ to ourselves? We don't need to love ourselves more. Right? If we define the law of Christ as the law of love, we don't need to learn how to love ourselves. So how can we apply this law of Christ in our lives? It's about preaching the love of Christ to ourselves. So we will preach the love of Christ and place the love of Christ in three designated areas in our lives here. And the first one is about our pride. You and I, we are very proudful people, and there's not one here, I would say, that doesn't fight this fight against pride. Pride is this placing yourself in a place higher than you are, and we all think about ourselves too much of ourselves. So how can we apply this law of Christ? It's about humble ourselves. Verse 3, if one thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. We have to take consideration that Paul is the one speaking these verses. If you go to Ephesians and Philippians, where Paul talks about his whole, or a little bit about Galatians 2, when he talks about his whole reputation, where he was zealous about this law. He was a higher than anybody else of his age, and he had a specific tribe of very prestige. And then he's talking about humbling himself. So how he does that is he understood the love of Christ. I think it was Ken that used this verse this morning, Ephesians chapter 3, I think, that Paul prays for the church that we might understand and know how deep, how wide, and how awesome is this love of Christ. The second form that we can apply to ourselves is to examine ourselves. Verse 4, each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. I just forgot to say about humbling ourselves. Pride will always take us distant from Christ, but humbleness will take us to His feet. And I think that Paul understood that so much as he lived by faith, and we can learn from him too. So as we examine ourselves, as verse 4 says, we should examine the actions that we are taking and the situations that we are this situation, is this actions pleasing to God or not? Is this talk or is this service that I'm practicing, is this pleasing to God or not? It's always the standard of pleasing to God, not pleasing ourselves or one another. Colossians 3:23 talks about you should do all that you do
for the audience of one, that is Christ our Lord. And the last one here as we close is to practice and preach the love of Christ to ourselves is about our own personal responsibilities. He used the same word there for each one should, he used the word, the verb again, carry, but in this way he used a load. Means in like a backpack or a small luggage. As the soldiers go to war, right, they use to be prepared as they carry their all the equipment in a bag. So that's the word here, is that you would have your bag full of things that you should need to live this law of Christ. But also, we all have our own responsibilities of grow in purity and grow in humbleness and grow in the relationship with Christ. Also, you have a personal responsibility for those that God has given to you, to your kids, to your grandkids. It's our responsibility, it's my responsibility to disciple my daughters to the way that Christ would please Christ. It's not Andrew's responsibility to do that. It's mine. God placed me in that responsibility for that purpose. Now, we can share, like, Andrea can take my daughters to swim lessons, but that's not her responsibility to teach them, to disciple them to the way they please their God. Now, grandparents, yes, they should. But I'm saying there's a very strong responsibility to ourselves in different ways as we care for our wives or care for our kids or care. You have that responsibility and you should grow as you practice this law of Christ on those areas. So, what is the benefit of all of this? Just go to verse 14 of the chapter 6. Is this understand of may I never boast except on the cross of Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The focus is Christ. It's take people to Christ. It's a live a life for Christ, and it's a live a life through Christ. So we might not boast ourselves, but boast in Him who saved us. I think it was more than 10 minutes.
Let's sing the first verse of this. Grace is greater than our sins. The grace that we come through changes us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the fact that you spelled it out so simply, and you give us the understanding. And Lord, you've changed our lives and you've put your Spirit within us. And Father, I ask this evening that that Spirit leads the words I speak, that this time you may be glorified, for you alone are worthy. Lord, we thank you that you love us so. In Christ's name, amen. Be reading from chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for what a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. My references tonight come from the MacArthur Study Bible, Galatians by the MacArthur Study Bible Studies, and Galatians, the Letter of Liberation by Chuck Swindoll, and from my personal spiritual experiences. Question: do these verses apply today, and what are some of the daily practical examples if they do? Let's read verse 6 again. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. The first thing that comes to mind in this verse is material compensation. In this context, however, Paul was referring to spiritually and morally excellent things learned in the word in which they fellowship together. Teachers and students are partners in the same investment, and that is presenting and applying God's word. It's important to have a proper perspective of each other. When each do their part, both will share in the abundant fruit of the Spirit. My practical example is from a personal experience. I want you to totally understand that all the glory and honor belong to God. My purpose for sharing this experience is to brag on the Holy Spirit and my Heavenly Father. For quite a few years, I've had the privilege to serve godly men with auto repair. Pastor Brad is one of those men. There is a godly trust between the two of us because of the Holy Spirit's guidance in our hearts, and we both feel the responsibility of honoring God and His Word. On one job, Teresa and I traveled north to pick up a truckload of parts. The girl who waited on me wanted to know who Brad Brandt was, and I had the privilege of telling this young lady that he was the man that told me on every Sunday and Wednesday night and day the truth about God and myself. It got quiet for a few seconds, but I believe the Holy Spirit planted the seed that day. And when I think of that day, I pray for her. I thank God for His mercy in Christ Jesus, who has allowed me to truly experience what verse 6 is talking about. In His providence, He put certain people in my life to teach me the skill He has blessed me with, and so therefore, the glory is totally His. Let's read verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Okay, I went too far. Anyway, the saying you reap what you sow has a deep agricultural message. There are four agricultural laws that prove this. A, we reap what we plant. Humans give birth to humans, dogs to dogs, fish to fish, and so on. The same holds true in farming. B, we reap in a different season than when we plant. Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2, when he said, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. C, we reap more than we plant. One stalk of corn yields several ears, an apple tree many apples, and so on. Hosea said this best in Hosea 8:7. They sow the wind and reap a whirlwind. Then there's the fourth law. We can't change the past, but we can dramatically affect our future by the decisions we make today. My practical example of this happened when I was probably around 21. One Saturday evening, I was cruising around in my car, and I stopped at a gas station in Colgrove to get gas. I noticed the station attendant talking to two elderly women by their car with the hood open and steam going everywhere. I walked over to pay for the fuel and asked the attendant what the problem was. The two women were traveling back to Lancaster when their water pump failed. The attendant was not allowed to work on vehicles, but the station had all the tools that was needed. And I knew of a parts store that was still open at that time. Long story short, I repaired their car. They tried to pay me, but I declined. 1 week to that day, I was cruising out on Route 140 near the 93 exit when my car stopped running. It was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I was going to Oak Hill to meet a buddy when he got off work. My thought was, if I can get to Route 93, Greg might recognize me and I would have the help I needed. I had walked about 50 feet when the next car coming gave me a ride to Oak Hill. The Holy Spirit witnessed to me on that ride to Oak Hill, you reap what you sow, and by God's grace, I've never doubted it, and I've never forgotten. Isn't God so good to teach us along the way on the path to glory? Thank God for His amazing grace. Now, verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The phrase, he who sows to the flesh, means catering to the flesh, evil desires. The word corruption in Greek means degeneration, as in decaying food. Sin left uncovered, unchecked, makes a person worse in character. The phrase sows to the Spirit means to walk and be guided by the Holy Spirit. Everlasting life not only means to live forever, but it also means the highest quality of life that one can experience. We can't expect to harvest holiness if we plant in the field of carnality. Even divine forgiveness may not remove the consequences of this law. David's sin with Bathsheba is a case in point. King David requested and received God's pardon, but yet the consequences of committing adultery and murder wreaked havoc in both his private and public life. If we really want to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit, we need to plant our lives in His field. When you think of all the heartache King David endured, it makes you totally aware that these verses do apply today. May God help us to recognize daily practical examples in each of our lives and ask Him, the Holy Spirit, to control us more each day. Then I started to think of the word karma. I wondered if this word was in Scripture, and I couldn't find it. Karma is the unsaved's way of saying you reap what you sow. Let's pray that God will open their eyes to see that there are serious consequences by not walking with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will share in our lives more each day, so they will hunger to have God control their lives too. And I'm going to end with an experience I had this past week. And again, I want the Holy Spirit to get the credit, because it all belongs to Him. I repaired a car for Brad probably a year ago, and I wasn't satisfied with the paint job, so we planned to do it over. And I looked at the weather, and it was going to be really clear. But guess what? It rained all week. So I was able to get part of it done the first part of the week, and normally I would have fretted and wondered, how am I going to fix this car when the car don't fit in the garage? And then I realized that God controls the weather. He controls the bugs that get in your paint job. And He controls all of it. So I just gave up and said, Lord, however you want to do it, I'm game. So Saturday morning, I started on the main car, and I hadn't touched hardly any of it. And 6 o'clock that evening, I painted it, and every half hour I ran down to see if I had to pick any bugs up. But it's probably one of my better jobs. But again, it was the need to fill something a brother needed, an obligation to my word. And I couldn't do it, but He can, and He did. And, you know, I don't care what is in our lives. It was put there by God or allowed by God for a purpose. Every detail. He takes care of everything. And I'm thankful that He's allowed me to begin to learn to trust Him and rely on Him. Because otherwise, I couldn't do it. But He can. And I love Him for that. And I thank Him. Thank you.
Familiar to us, but such a powerful message still. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I picture God. I don't know if it were me. Maybe this is, I don't know how to say this without, I didn't mean to be sacrilegious or whatever, but I think, you know, if I were God, how would I respond to someone who, you know, my creation that turns away? Okay, you want to be lost? Fine. Go ahead. Have fun. Find your way back. You know, kind of a thing. That would be my attitude, almost, kind of a thing. Like, all right, you can make the decision, but good luck with that, you know. But He's so gracious and kind to us to allow us to experience things, and yet every time come back, and give us that grace that we don't. I once was lost, but now I'm found because He came and found us. He rescued us. He lets us fall, not to prove us wrong, but to prove that He's good, that He's worthy. We can trust Him. So let's sing with those thoughts.
Evening. If you're not there, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I didn't give this sermon a title, but the main idea is good works or good deeds, depending on how you translate, how your English version is translated. And we're going to look in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 tonight. I'm closing this out. Let's go ahead and pray and read, and then we'll explain the word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house and among your people and in your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll be glorified in this message tonight and the clarity will hit home and that we would examine our hearts and our lives to see if we're living up to your word. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, let us read verse 9 and 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Tonight I want to glean and bring out and answer some of these questions or statements. And one of them is, why should we continue to do good works? Two, things we need to avoid while doing good works. And three, who do we do good works towards? And when do we do them? And we're going to answer all these questions or statements. So let's read verse 9 together and explain it. Let us not lose heart in doing good deeds or good works. Paul was telling his audience, he was actually commanding them, he said, do not lose heart. The idea of losing heart is to be, do not, he was saying, do not get discouraged, do not get become disappointed to the point of wanting to quit doing good deeds or good works. So he says, let us not lose heart in doing good deeds. Why? Because in due time we will reap or we will be rewarded if we do not grow weary. And the idea of growing weary is mentally and or physically to the point where we want to get tired and just quit and give up and walk away from doing good works. Paul warns his audience, you do that, you could lose your reward in heaven. In fact, he says you will lose your reward. So it's very important not to lose our reward, and by not walking away or quitting and being discouraged or mentally or physically tired. Now, in verse 10, he continues, and we want to answer this. Who do we do good works to? And Paul answers that in verse 10. He says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Jews, Gentile, religious people, atheists, your neighbor, your spouse, your child. Whoever is on planet Earth, Paul says, do good deeds to all people everywhere, regardless of religion, race, belief, or color. And when should we do that in life? And he says it right here, when opportunity arises. We think of opportunities where maybe we're driving down the road and we see somebody we know or don't know have a flat, and you go, I can help that person. That's not what Paul is saying here. It's not looking for an opportunity. He's saying, since the day of your salvation till the time you go home, that's the time of opportunity to do the good works that God has called you to do. And take the advantage of that time frame, because we know that time frame is coming to an end. And so Paul says, do good works to all people. But then he goes on to say, especially single out this particular group to do good to. And who is that? Those of the household of the faith. It's one thing to give common grace to the unbeliever in helping them fix a tire or helping them pay a bill. But when it comes to helping your brothers and sisters in Christ, it's like it's divine grace. And one of the things that kind of helps me to understand why we should do good to especially the household of faith, remember what Jesus said when someone said, Lord, when did we visit you in prison? When did we clothe you? When did we give you a cup of water to drink? And he said, when you do it to the least one of these, you've done it unto me. Now, in closing, we want to make sure that we do not lose heart, that we do not get discouraged to the point where we want to quit. Doing good deeds sometimes is very taxing. And especially imagine you have a quadriplegic spouse who relies on you relentlessly for their needs, for cooking, for bathing, and for accidents they have or whatever. Pretty soon you grow weary and tired because you want some compensation maybe for that. The flesh does. But your reward is not coming from them. It's coming from the Lord when he returns. He'll have your reward in his hands. So we want to continue to remind each and every one of us that we are to especially to do good works to the household of faith, but we are to do good works to everyone. Jesus is the prime example. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And some people never even turned around like the lepers, didn't even turn around and thank him except for one. So we don't do good works for the reward from people. We do them for the Lord. And they can be lost. And Paul warns his audience, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Hang in there. Continue to do the good works for everyone because your reward is coming. I'll turn it back over now to the choir director. Thank you.
Apparently we need one more. Good thing I wrote down one more, just in case. Just to end our time here for business meeting and things, 198, this was a favorite of mine growing up as a kid, because it had the two parts thing there, and the guys just sing, wonderful, the matchless grace, and the girls, matchless grace, Jesus. So if we can do that, that would be great, but let's not, think about the words. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Let's celebrate. It's a fun song. First verse, just one verse. Good job.